Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Welcome to Power in the Word. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons, and as always, it's a blessing and an honor to be able to come to you today to share with you in the Word of God. Amen and praise God. God is good and worthy to be praised, and I'm rejoicing in Him today as I'm going through my own personal trials and tribulations, as I'm growing in my walk with the Lord. It's a good thing to be used of the Lord to minister to others, even while the Holy Spirit is ministering to me, even while God is ministering to me. And there's something going on with me. I can't explain it. All that I know is that I'm at a point where I'm going from God's glory to His glory, from His glory to His glory. Amen. And we have to get to a point in our lives where each circumstance will elevate us and take us up a notch in our walk with God. And that is my prayer for you, that each thing that you encounter, each circumstance that you encounter, each tribulation, each trial that you encounter will make you stronger, will give you more endurance, will give you the ability to continue to persevere and continue to walk with God in spite of what it looks like. Amen. Amen and praise God. And today you tuned in not by chance. If you see on the agenda for today, the Lord has led me to talk about the impact and the ability to be freed up from the yoke of molestation and other negative life circumstances that can put you up in a yoke of bondage. So many people are walking around yoked up, and they really don't understand why they still can't get free after all of these years of knowing God, after all of these years of being saved, all of these years of walking with God. A lot of people are wondering, why am I still going back to the same behavior? And why do I still not think more of myself than I do? Why is my self-esteem so low? And why do I allow people to take up space in my life? And why do I keep coming down on myself so hard? You know, a lot of the reason for that is because somewhere along the line you have encountered a negative life circumstance that you need to be freed up from. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to talk about that for a few minutes, and then I'm going to, after I speak for a few minutes on the topic, after I say what I believe the Lord wants me to say, I'm going to open up the phone line so that you can call in with your questions or your comments or whatever it is that you might have to say. You might have something to contribute to this topic, or you might be one who's dealing with this and you might need prayer, or you might need to call and have a question answered. So I'm here for you today. I don't know why the Lord impressed upon my heart to do this particular topic on today, but this is where He has us. Amen. And this is where we're going to be today. Amen. So as with every program, I like to open with prayer. Let us open with prayer. Father God, I praise your holy name. Lord, I worship you. You are worthy, God. You are worthy to be praised. So I come to you right now, Father God, asking that your will be done. Have your way during this next hour that I'm on the air here at Blog Talk Radio. Speak to the hearts and minds of the women and the men who will tune in to listen, Father God, and let there be liberation. Let there be freedom. Let there be, Father God, yoke-breaking power manifested over these internet airways, Father God. We love you, and even those who will call in, Father God, let them, Father God, get some, Father God, solid solutions, Father God, for whatever it is that has been vexing them throughout the years, Lord. So I pray your Holy Spirit will come in and have His way during this time. And Lord, we give this time to you. I give this time totally to you. Not my will, but your will be done, God, not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit, Lord. Let freedom be made manifest in the lives of those who will listen live and those who will listen via the archives. And in the precious name of Jesus Christ that I pray, amen and praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Again, this is Pastor Rebecca Simmons, and I'm coming to you today. I've been assigned by God to come and talk about breaking the yoke of molestation and other negative life circumstances that have the people of God in bondage. Amen. And let me just start with a brief testimony. I am 46 years old. I'm a woman. I'm 46 years old. And for most of my life, from the time that I would say 10 years old until maybe 34 years old, I was yoked up. I was really yoked up. I was running around doing all kinds of crazy stuff and couldn't understand why. I couldn't understand why, because I was in darkness. Could not understand why I was exhibiting such self-destructive behavior. And what do I mean when I say self-destructive behavior? I was in relationship with the wrong men. I was drinking and even purchasing illegal drugs, you know, things that you don't even know that is illegal. I didn't even know that I could have gone to jail for purchasing drugs from the street to medicate myself. I was just doing all kinds of crazy stuff. I was an A student, always smart, but I began to cut class and I began to do things that I knew were going to defeat my purpose in life. And the truth of the matter was, I didn't even know that I had a purpose. So again, I had all of this self-destructive behavior that I was exhibiting and partying. I became a party girl because that was the only way that I could forget about the things that were causing me so much pain. And it wasn't until later on in life when I became a Christian, I came face to face with Jesus Christ one day. I ran from God all of my life. This was not something that I wanted to do. I did not want to become a Christian, did not want to go to church, did not want to be a preacher, did not want to be a Bible thumper, a Holy Ghost roller, whatever you want to call it. This was not my plan. I ran from this. I ran from this because I didn't think I was worthy of the call that was already on my life. So when people would tell me about God, I would not hear. I did not have ears to hear what God was saying. All that I knew was that I had some pain, and what I was doing was working for the time being. The drugs, the alcohol, the men, the bad relationships, even though none of that stuff was good and none of that stuff really made me feel good after the fact, this was what I did to make myself feel better. And it was not until I became a Christian, it was not until the scales fell off of my eyes, because I was blind, but now I see. But it wasn't until God opened my eyes and pierced my heart and began to give me the wisdom of God that I was able to see that I was really running from myself. I was running from my own life. I was running from some circumstances that had occurred in my life when I was a young girl that I was having great difficulty dealing with a sober mind. So what I'm saying to you is that I have compassion, the compassion of God, for people who are alcoholics and people who are drug addicts, for people who are womanizers or whoremongers, for people who are prostitutes. I have that compassion because I've lived that. You know, I've been there. I've been there, done that, got some T-shirts. And thank God I don't have to go back because I have been set free. So when I come to you and I minister to you here on Power in the Word, I'm not coming to you as someone who has not been through the fire, as someone who's not been through the storm. And again, this is Pastor Rebecca Simmons. I am the host of Power in the Word, and I want to welcome you to the program, you on the chat board. And I, again, I'm giving my testimony to help to open up the doors for others to hear so that you can know that you're not alone in the fact that you are exhibiting some self-destructive behaviors as a result of something that has happened to you. Amen. Amen. Because, like I said, when God opened my eyes, then I realized that I was doing what I was doing because I did not want to deal with the reality of the fact that I had been molested. Amen. I did not want to deal with the reality of the fact that I had been abandoned by my father, that my father walked out on me when I was 10 years old and never looked back, really. I mean, he really just went ahead and had a whole new life with a whole new woman, started a family on the other side of town, lived in a house while we lived in the projects. He seemed to be doing well while my mother was struggling to raise five kids by herself. She went on welfare. She worked two jobs. And I became very bitter. You know, I became very bitter. Can I talk about this? I became very bitter, and I started to act out. And I was in the middle of the bitterness, in the middle of acting out, I was in pain. And I'm just telling the truth about it, because it's one thing to get up here and get into the Word of God and begin to tell you somebody else's story. But it's another thing when you have to tell your own story. I can tell you that my heart started to beat real fast when it was time for me to come on the air, because I knew that God was going to pull my testimony out of me. It's not what I planned. I have a whole thing set up where I came here and I said, okay, I'm going to do a pretty little 10 points, how to get free from this thing. But I didn't plan on being so naked with to you on today. But God says that somebody needs to know that there's hope even in the middle of the darkness. There's a ray of light in the middle of the darkness. Now, I have been tampered with. I have been touched in an unclean manner. I have been molested, and it didn't feel good. I felt dirty. I felt worthless. I felt like nobody would ever want me. I felt like my life was over. I felt like a dirty dish rag, if you want to know the truth about it. So what did I do? Because it was sex that tainted me, because it was an act of lust that tainted me, I fell into the realm of the world of lust. Do you understand what I'm saying? I began to go after the lustful desires of men. I began to go after the attention of men. You know, if they could just pay attention to me in that way, then I would be made to feel desirable. And if I could be made to feel desirable, then things would be okay. But don't you know that the devil is a liar and that things were not okay? Things were not okay. Amen. And I see that I have someone. I'm there for you. I see I have someone on the board that can bear witness to my testimony. Because the fact of the matter is, so many of us are holding on to our testimony, and we're not telling anyone what has happened to us. And we're preaching the gospel, and we're shouting and stomping, and we're acting like we're holier than thou, and that we've never been through anything, and nobody can be set free, because people now think that this is something that we have to hide. But you don't have to hide this anymore. God wants to heal you from this. Amen. God wants to heal you. He wants to heal you. He wants you to be set free once and for all. Amen. He does not want you to carry this burden any longer, any further than today. Amen. Amen, and praise God. Again, this is Pastor Rebecca Simmons, and I'm coming to you with power in the Word. And I'm here today to talk to you about being loose from the bondage of your past. So many of us have a testimony, and if you're just tuning in, you need to go back and hear what God has done in my life. When God saved me, he saved me for real. Okay, here I was, like Paul, I was the worst of sinners, okay? I was the worst of sinners, looking for love in all of the wrong places, broken, busted, and disgusted, felt like worthless, no self-esteem. People talk about low self-esteem, but I had no self-esteem. I didn't think anything of myself. I just thought that I was there to be used and abused. Amen. And I hated men. I hated men. It's a wonder that I didn't go over into the life of homosexuality, because I could not stand men. But my way of retaliating was not to turn my back on men, but my way of retaliating was to make men suffer. In other words, I used them just like they thought they were using me. If you can relate, just go ahead and say amen right where you sit. And I used men to make me feel better. I used them. I didn't like them. I didn't want to have a permanent relationship with them. I just wanted them to make me feel better. I used them like I used the drugs. I used them like I used the alcohol. I used them like I used the partying, the being popular. I used them to validate me, to make me feel better. Amen. Amen. So here I am. God saved me. He sent a man into a bar to evangelize. to me and to tell me that he loved me. And I'm telling you, that's the biggest witness. If you are a man of God, if you're a woman of God, if you're a minister or pastor or prophet or apostle, whatever title you may want to use, I want to encourage you that when you start ministering to people, make sure that you tell them about the love of God. Make sure you tell people that God loves them, because most people who are headed for hell, most people who are turning their back on the gospel, most people who don't want to hear about our church, they're in a lot of pain, and they don't believe that anybody loves them. They're looking for love, and they're looking in all of the wrong places. So we have to be instruments of reconciliation, and we have to be ministers of the gospel for real, amen, and let people know God loves you. God loves you in all of your filthiness. God loves you no matter how many men you've been with, no matter how many women you have taken advantage of. God loves you no matter what you've done, no matter how many times you've done it, no matter who you've done it with, no matter what has been done to you, and no matter how bad it made you feel, God still loves you. Amen. Hallelujah. We need to tell the truth about it. We need to tell people, I've been where you are. I have walked in shame. I've walked in disgrace. I've been abused. I've been abandoned. I've been misused. But thank God for Jesus. Amen. Because Jesus came into my life and changed my life. And that's the testimony that we need to be telling people, because that's the testimony that's going to break the yoke in the lives of the people of God. When they can look at you in all of God's glory, that's what I said, when they can look at you in all of God's glory, because God clothes you when he calls you into his glorious righteousness through Christ. God clothes you in his glory, amen. And when he makes you look real good, he cleans you up real good. God clean. Look at my picture if you're on the internet. God cleaned me up real good. God cleaned me up real good. I was a wretch, man. I was a wretch. If you saw some before pictures, you would be praising God right now. You would be running around wherever you are praising God. God clothes you in his glory and makes you look real good. And that's only for his glory, so that you can tell people how bad you used to look, what a wretch you used to be, and what you used to do. And I said used to, amen, because when we become in God, we become new creations. We become new in God, and we get a brand new life, amen, amen, hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I want to open up the phone lines for anybody who might feel an urge to call in. I still have more to say, but I want to give you an advantage, an opportunity to call in. And the call-in number is 646-652-4832. Or you can come on the chat board, because there are people in the chat room, and you can be a part of the conversation that's taking place there. So I want to tell you that God saved me for real, okay, while I'm waiting for your calls. I want to read a scripture. Let me just read this scripture. And this is where I was, amen. This is where I was. It's in the book of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 13, amen, hallelujah. And I see you, caller, on the air. I'm going to read the scripture, and then I'm going to take your call, amen. 2 Samuel chapter 13 says, in the course of time, Amnon, son of David, fell in love with Tamar, the beautiful sister of Absalom, son of David. Amnon became frustrated to the point of illness on account of his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin, and it seemed impossible for him to do anything to her. Now Amnon had a friend named Jonadab, son of Shemaiah, David's brother. His cousin Jonadab was a very shrewd man. He asked Amnon, "Why do you, the king's son, look so haggard morning after morning? Won't you tell me?" Amnon said to him, "I'm in love with Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister." "Go to bed and pretend to be ill," Jonadab said. "When your father comes to see you, say to him, 'I would like my sister Tamar to come and give me something to eat. Let her prepare the food in my sight so I may watch her and then eat it from her hand.'" So Amnon lay down and pretended to be ill. When the king came to see him, Amnon said to him, I would like my sister Tamar to come and make some special bread in my sight so I may eat from her hand. So David sent Tamar to Amnon, and then I'm going to go verse 10. Then Amnon said to Tamar, bring the food here into my bedroom so I may eat from your hand. And Tamar took the bread she had prepared and brought it to her brother Amnon in his bedroom. But when she took it to him to eat, he grabbed her and said, come to bed with me, my sister. Don't, my brother, she said to him, don't force me. Such a thing should not be done in Israel. Don't do this wicked thing. What about me? Where could I get rid of my disgrace? And what about you? You would be like one of the wicked fools in Israel. Please speak to the king. He will not keep me from being married to you. But he refused to listen to her. And since he was stronger than she, he raped her. Then Amnon hated her with intense hatred. In fact, he hated her more than he had loved her. Amnon said to her, get up and get out. No, she said to him, sending me away would be a greater wrong than what you have already done to me. But he refused to listen to her. He called his personal servant and said, get this woman out of here and bolt the door after her. So his servant put her out and bolted the door after her. She was wearing a richly ornamented robe, for this was the kind of garment the king's daughter wore. Tamar put ashes on her head and tore the ornamented robe she was wearing. She put her hand on her head and went away, weeping aloud as she went. And that's a shame. But that is the scripture. And I just wanted to read that to let you know that even in the Bible, there are records of what has gone wrong, even in the case of molestation from a family member. This was her brother. And so many of you have been molested by brothers or uncles or fathers. And it does not even have to be molestation. It could be a abandonment or neglect or abuse. You could have seen your father hit your mother, and this has crippled you and has you yoked up, and it's time to be free. Amen. Hallelujah. And it could be a man out there, because I know men also who are going through this. So I want to talk to you, and I'm opening up the phone line right now. I do have a caller on the line, and caller, you're on the air. Welcome to Power in the Word.
Oh, God bless you, my sister. This is Pastor Xiomara.
God bless you.
Oh, my God. I just turned on the computer and I said, Lord, I want to work from you today, oh, God, because I have a church that is a lot of youth, and I'm working with youth, and all these youth are going through so many emotional and mentally problems, and I was like, God, you know, because I wanted to share with the youth even my testimony, and when I'm hearing you saying your testimony, I said, thank you, Jesus, because you are giving me confirmation right now for me to share my testimony with
Hallelujah.
The youth. There's so many youth out there that is going through molestation, through abuse, physical, mentally, emotionally abuse. And when I'm listening to you giving your testimony, I'm like, oh, my God, she's talking about me. I said, Lord, you know, we have so much in common. And it is so sad, especially when you come from, let's say that you come from a Christian home. Even in a Christian home, this could happen. And I was raised in church all my life. All my life I've been raised in church.
Yeah.
But it's not the same thing. And I want to share this because I know this testimony is going to go everywhere. A lot of people's going to listen to this testimony.
Yes.
People that go to church and people that don't go to church. And I'm a pastor that I like to keep it real, okay?
Yes.
Because there's a lot of people that go to church, but they don't have a true encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? We need to have a true encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, because when you have that encounter, your life changes. Your life changes a 360. nasty turns. It goes around. You can never be the same. Whoever you were in the past, you cannot be the same in the present. And when you have that relationship with the Lord, you will not even try to hurt your little ones in any way, not even in words, not even in actions, okay, not even in molestation. No, you won't even go there. And I was raised in church ever since I was, a baby of months. And I remember when I was in the age of 12, I was molested by my father. Okay, I was molested by my father. I was molested by my brother. Okay, and even by my sister. And it affected me in such a way that I did not want to know anything about my family. Now, I am an adopted child. I don't know my real family. Okay, I was raised in a foster home ever since I was a little baby. And I never knew who were my real parents, who were my biological brothers and sisters. And to this day, I'm 32 to 33 years old now. Uh-huh. And I still don't know, okay, my biological family.
Okay.
But my family, my parents that raised me, that adopted me, I went through that molestation. I went through physical abuse. I went through emotional abuse. I went through mentally abuse.
On
top of that, I was raised in church, okay? Yeah. And there was a time that I said, Lord, why if I'm raised in church?
Talk about it.
Why I went through that. And when I was in the age of 15 years old, okay, I was sold, okay, to my daughter's father at the age of 15. At the age of 15.
My God.
I was physically abused by him, okay, and I was also mentally abused by him. At the age of 15, I was still playing with Barbie dolls. Now you don't see 15-year-old play with Barbie dolls nowadays.
Right.
You know, they
right.
and at that age, I was still playing with Barbie dolls. I still had a mind of a baby, okay? And I always wanted to have a father figure. But this man used to abuse me so much, okay? And I was also in that domestic violence in a relationship with this man. He was 22 and I was 15.
Wow.
And I was living with him. And I remember that in that age, I remember that my parents started pastoring. And I was so rebellious. I was so hurt. Okay?
Yeah.
I was so hurt. And I remember that I told God, God, how is it possible that you call them to be pastors when they hurt me?
Yes,
when I went through the situation, when I went through so much, how could they be standing on a pulpit and preaching your word when they know they hurt me? Well, I remember that I did this woman of God, oh my God, this powerful woman of God came to me, and she did not know me. I didn't know her. She didn't know me. And we was walking, and I was walking through Fordham Road here in the Bronx. And, I see this beautiful, she has white hair, and she had her hair like a donut, you know, that donut ponytail.
Yes.
And she's a beautiful woman. And she said, you know something? The Lord loves you no matter what you went through. And she told me, and God has a purpose for your life. And you are going to help lift up other people that went through the same thing you went through. And I looked at this woman. I saw her, you don't know what I've been through.
Yes.
And she said, you are right. I don't know what you've been through. But the Holy Spirit of God is revealing to me that you've been through a lot of suffering since you was a little girl. And you know what? That suffering is going to make you strong because you're going to lift other people up. And you're going to be there talking to them. And you're going to give them the love that you never received.
My
you're
going to
receive. you're going to give them the understanding that you never received. And I was like, oh, my God, if this woman is talking to me. And I went to a church and I said, God, I still have this pain. I said, God, I'm still going through this. And the Lord healed me. And you know the way God healed me?
Yes, I would like to know.
On a Mother's Day, I did not want to know anything about my mother. And I went to the church and I said, God, I cannot see her and I cannot see him because I can't stand to see them there knowing that they hurt me. But God put in my heart to go. And I said, God, why do I have to go? So the Lord gave me a scripture from the Bible where it says, forgive who trespasses against you.
Yes.
For your heavenly Father could forgive you.
Mm.
And I'm like, oh, my God, but I'm going to forgive them if they hurt me.
Mm.
So I went there and I said, you know what, Mom, Dad, I want to ask for forgiveness. I remember I got on my knees and I screamed and I said, I'm asking for forgiveness if I ever hurt you in any way. Anything to you that provoked you to get angry. My sister, my Lord did a miracle that day in my life. The change was broken in my life. My father got off the pulpit and he said, no, get up. I'm the one who has to be kneeling down to you asking for forgiveness.
Jesus.
I ask you for forgiveness. And why I'm giving this testimony, because God has been putting it in my heart for days, and I praise God and I thank God for you, sister, that you're giving this testimony, because these are testimonies that we have to say. We got to let it know out there to a lot of people, because there's a lot of people that are hurt. There are people that don't want to come to church for certain reasons, and there are people inside the church that are already hurt and seen bad examples. But let me tell you, when Christ is in your life, when the Lord Jesus comes to your life and he transforms your life, let me tell you, you're a new creation. You can never be the same. Never be the same. You are a new person. Whatever happened in the past, that stays in the past. That's no longer, you can't remember that anymore, because God will take it out of your mind. There will be no more hurt in your heart, because
yes,
you could testify, and you could testify without pain.
But
when you testify, you are testifying with the power of God in you, and you make other people be healed by the name of Jesus and the power of the Lord in you. And I praise God for this, and I lift my Lord's name up high in this moment, because he is worthy. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be glorified.
Yes.
He is worthy to be glorified.
Yes.
And I lift
my
hands up high, because I am in victory, and I thank Jesus for you, my sister.
Hallelujah.
Thank Jesus for you, and continue giving this testimony, sister, because a lot of people need to hear it. They need to hear it, because there's a lot of pain out there, a lot of pain. And by this testimony, the pain will be healed. The Holy Spirit is going to heal a lot of hearts in this
Hallelujah.
Day. And not just only on this day, but tomorrow and after tomorrow.
That's
because
right.
Everyone that listens to this testimony, they're going to be healed in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name, we declare.
Amen.
Praise God. My sister, and I know that it was God, because as I was saying when I got ready to call in to do this program, my heart just started beating, and the enemy tried to come upon me in fear, and I had to pray and say, God has not given me a spirit of fear. And another weapon that the enemy uses is he will tell you, and I know this is for you, he will tell you that no one wants to hear that testimony, especially if you've been out there telling your testimony for a while. He will say, oh no, you're not going to tell your testimony again. But God is going to take you to some places, Pastor, and he's going to put you in front of some women that need to hear your testimony. There are people that need to hear from your mouth what God has done in your life, and how God delivered you, and how God has given you the power over the enemy. See, the enemy came to destroy you as you were a little girl. Like you said, since you were a little girl, you went through so much. But God says, for his glory, glory. He brought you up out of that, and he even allowed it to happen for his glory. And a lot of people don't understand when we say that God does allow bad things to happen to good people. Mm-hmm. But it's when I hear your testimony. See, my parents were not in church, you know, so it was when I think about it, we went to church on Easter and we went to church on different occasions. And when I think about it, I'm saying what they went through with the drinking and the fighting and everything that went on in our home, they were like pagans. But when you think about people in church, you know, who are going to church and raising their kids in church, and this stuff is going on, God is saying to me today, Pastor Rebecca, this is across the board. This is in the church and out the church, because what he showed me today in my time with him when I was going over the scripture, he showed me that the woman who had the woman who was healed, the woman in Luke 13 that Jesus healed on the Sabbath, who was bent over by an evil spirit, who was crippled. This woman was in the synagogue when Jesus saw her. She was in the church. So there's a lot of crippledness. There are a lot of crippled women in the church. There are a lot of hurting women, like you said, in the church. There are a lot of women sitting in the church and coming to the church praying that God will put his hand on their issue. And week after week, we're going to church and we're playing church. And we're not really addressing the pain. And we're not really manifesting the power of God. And people are not being set free. They're not having an encounter with Jesus.
Amen.
They're having an encounter with our intellect. They're having an encounter with our philosophies. Everybody's coming up with a brand new doctrine, a brand new revelation, a brand new this and a brand new that, but there's nothing new under the sun, my sister. See, the heart of the gospel is being missed. We're skipping over the heart of the gospel. And the heart of the gospel is the death, the life, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ for the covering of our sins and for the healing of everything that ails us. By his stripes we are healed. And we just have to get back to basics. We have to get back to basics. So I have to let you know that I appreciate your testimony. Amen. And you have helped me to do this ministry today.
Amen.
The Lord sent you, my sister, because he wants you to know. And this is how God thrust me into ministry. How long have you been pastoring?
Right now it's going to be 3 years.
3 years. The same with me.
The same with me.
And the Lord sent you today to confirm your ministry, to say that this is your ministry. This is the thrust of your ministry. You may minister on a lot of different issues. Let me tell you how the devil tried to stop me. When I got ready to be ordained for ministry, the woman of God that was interviewing asked me, well, how will you minister to those who have not been through what you've been through in life, who have not been through molestation, who have not been through abandonment, who have not been abused? How would you minister to those? And that thing left a root of doubt in my spirit, where I was like, you don't have any power. No, everybody hasn't been molested. Everybody hasn't been abandoned. But, you know, the thing that the Lord in his wisdom gave me to say to her was that everybody needs Jesus.
Amen. 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 Praise God.
My God, my God. So your parents have turned God, they've had a real encounter with God now.
Oh, yes, praise God. After that happened, about like a year later after that same day, they say, I'm sorry. But I kept praying for them, and I said, Lord, I really want them to have an encounter with you. And it was not only when my sister passed away, and when she passed away, it was like a very big thing. You know, because a lot of things started coming out, a lot of pain, a lot of hurt, a lot of so many things. And right there, they made a decision. I said, Lord, you know, this has to stop. I really need an encounter. And ever since, thank God, they they doing good now and preaching the gospel just the way it is and giving good testimony. But yes, this is something that does happen even in the churches, my sister, even in the churches. You know, not every pastor is really standing in the right way with God. You know, a lot of things are hidden, and there's nothing hidden before God. Everything comes out to the light. You know, it could happen
That's
now.
Right.
It could happen tomorrow. It could happen later on in life, but it happens. And when things comes to light, God is giving every person, God gives every person a chance to repent of whatever they have done wrong in their life. But if there's not no repentance, God will permit something to happen to make them wake up and smell the coffee, like I tell the youth in the church.
That's I like that, to wake up and smell the coffee, because that's what happened with me. When God saved me, when God put his hand on me for real, I went to church, and I went to church for 3 months. I was determined not to be a hypocrite in the church.
Amen.
And I would tell people all of the time that I would rather go to hell from the bar stool than the church pew. And that was just because of what I saw from the outside looking in. A lot of my friends were Christians. A lot of my friends said that they were Christians. But they were in the bar with me week after week. They were picking up men with me week after week. They were getting high with me, Pastor. So, you know, I was like, and then when I got saved, one of my good friends who used to hang out with me, she said to me, she said, well, don't go crazy with this thing. Your sins are forgiven, past, present, and future, so you don't have to become a holy roller. And this was another Christian who grew up in church talking to me, saying, don't go crazy with this Jesus stuff. But let me tell you something. This Jesus stuff has saved my life. It's because I have gone crazy with this Jesus stuff. It's because I got into the Word. And it's only by the grace of God that I am who I am. Amen.
Amen.
So I'm not boasting on myself. I'm boasting on the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's why we're doing this. That's why I do this, because it was only when I went to church for 3 months and I kept hearing that word, and faith comes by hearing the word of God, and I kept hearing that word, and that word penetrated my heart and heart, because I had heart in my heart to the point where it was like, I don't care. I was a mean black woman. They said, you're a mean, evil black woman, because I was snapped at the drop of a dime. If anybody said something to me, they would get cursed out or told off or cut up by my tongue, because, you know, the tongue is a great weapon. And I was a poor mother. I had a baby when I was 16 years old. I was pregnant at 16. I had neglected my own daughter. And by partying and trying to just find myself and trying to find some happiness for myself. And I know that there are some people out there, maybe you don't have my experience in its entirety. Maybe you don't have Pastor Ziamada's experience in its entirety, but you have experienced some of what we're talking about. And you may be going to church every Sunday, but you're a traditional churchgoer. And God is saying to you today that he wants to bring you up out of tradition and bring you into relationship with Jesus Christ through his Holy Spirit. God is saying that he wants to pierce that heart and heart. You've been sitting up in church with a heart and heart. And God is saying to you, woman of God, man of God, that it's time for you to open up the door of your heart and let him come in, because he is standing at the door and he is knocking, and he is giving you another opportunity right now through these testimonies that you have heard over the airwaves, the internet airwaves on today. He's giving you another opportunity to let him in, because your behavior is leading to death. The end of all of this stuff that we talked about, I don't know how you reacted, but I reacted in a way that, like you said, it was total rebellion to the cross. I lived as an enemy to the cross of Christ. And God is saying the end of that is death. And the plan of the enemy, with whatever happened, whether your father wasn't there, or you were touched, or you were abandoned, or you were abused, or even if you were sold, because so many girls are being sold into slavery to what they call marriage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even if your parents sold you to your husband, as Pastor testified, whatever it is, or even if you are now still hurting because your husband cheated on you or something happened to you in your life and you're now acting out because you're mad at God. The truth of the matter is you really are mad at God. And God is saying it's time for you to open up your heart and let him in. He wants to come in and abide with you. He wants to give you that new life, that life more abundantly. Look, sister, brother, you don't have to live like that.
Mm-hmm.
Broken, busted, and disgusted. Jesus wants to make you whole again. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. And we
Amen.
Have another caller on the line, and I just want to just really give people an opportunity to speak out on this topic.
Amen.
So if you want to call in, the number is 646-652-4832. And hear my heart today. God sent me here. I did not want to do this. I want to come and do a 30-minute show on Power in the Word and have a quaint little program. But God said, no, we're tearing off the covers today because this demon is a spirit that can make you sick in your body, your mind. It can mess up your relationships, your finances, your life. So we're going to talk about this, and we're just going to talk real. We're going to keep it real.
Oh, yeah.
He has two pastors on the line, and we're here to keep it real. Amen.
Amen.
Caller, you're on the air, 908 area code. You're on the air. Welcome to Power in the Word.
Oh, thank you. God bless you, Pastor Rebecca. This is Lalisa Williams.
Oh, God bless you.
I'm very much in tune to the topic of molestation, having been molested from the age 5 until I was 17. So I've been there. I'm 51 now. But, yes, I suffered many things from that, things that I didn't even know I was suffering at the time. It wasn't until after God delivered me from it, allowed me to overcome it fully, then he showed me all the damage, and I'm so glad he didn't let me see any of the damage along the way because I probably would have suffered more abuse in terms of drugs, and I ended up in prostitution anyway, but I still thank God that I never felt that I was doing that because I never felt bad about being molested. So I thank God for what he did.
My God, and isn't it amazing how God will keep us. He protected us. He protected the three of us because we didn't even know the extent of the pain that we were carrying around.
Exactly.
Yes.
I had no clue. It wasn't until I was working on an associate degree at Union County College, and one of the teachers, were having just a group discussion, and she started bringing up things that happened to us as children, and a couple of the ladies had talked about how they had been molested by a brother or by one of their brothers, and how the child that they carried and delivered, the parent took the child, and how every year on that day they would have all these traumatic emotions going, and then that's when I realized that, wow, I was traumatized by those things. You know, that's why I was dropping out of school. That's why I got all those bad grades. That's why I kept trying to destroy myself through being promiscuous through sex and allowing any boy to really have sex with me. I didn't, you know, I had no decision making over it. It was no, you know what I'm saying? Like very, very,
yeah.
It was just, you know, I just felt unworthy of any kind of real life. And, you know, I knew the Lord a little bit, but I mean, we went to church as kids. But I didn't, you know, God wasn't something that I turned to make decisions. He was only something I knew to turn to when you're down and out and on your very last, you know, whatever.
Yes, yes.
But can happen later in life for some. I know that's not everybody's testimony. I mean, it was mine. Even after I went into the military and I dated every guy I dated since I was 18, he abused me physically, actually hit me, beat me. And I, you know, I never associated any of that with what can be the results of having been molested, you know, being timid, even to the fact that when it was time for me to have sex with somebody, you know, well, it wasn't never time because I wasn't yet married till I was 30-something, but I felt it was time, I never could fully open up sexually in a romantic way to that person.
Yeah.
Again, I never attributed any of that to being molested, even not even being able to get pregnant. I was just happy that I didn't have to take care of kids like I've seen other people struggle, so I was really glad about it. But then one day it hit me that maybe having sex at a young age did something that caused me to be sterile. Maybe. I don't know. I'm saying.
Well, that's what you were thinking, right?
I thought that later. I didn't think it at the time. At that time, I was just happy that I could run the streets and I didn't have no little baby to leave on my mama.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I ate, my whole family ate, so I didn't have to deal with what some young girls had to deal with in terms of spending their money on Pampers and always buying their kids things and having to chase after these deadbeat dads. I never had to do that. But who knows if I didn't, you know, I couldn't get pregnant because of what my uncle had done to me. So for a long period of time, I never had no hate for him. So when I got old enough in my 30s and when I really looked at what all the damage that being sexually molested from the time I'm 5, it was so psychological and so deeply rooted till I was age 17 is when it stopped. That was actually
five
having
to 17.
I was age 17 when it stopped, and that was only because I had gotten this boyfriend who knew about it. He found out about it. And well, he talked to me and said, you know, he was mad. He was upset. And it wasn't until he was so upset about it that I became then upset and sick. Other than that, it was just, hey, you know, this is your lot in life. My uncle had been real close to me ever since I was, like, born. Mm-hmm. And he made me feel special from the time I was
yes.
a little child. Because I was the little child that got picked on. I was the darkest-skinned one in the family. I was
yeah.
And I was very timid. So, and I was, you know, sad. And so he, you know, he picked up on that. And so he was, like, my hero. And every time he came around, it was good times for Lalisa. So I never had any reason to feel negative about him. I knew
right.
I knew what he was doing was wrong, but I was so in tune to now I get to get ice cream and now I get to get somebody giving me the extra. Fighting me
and
to the, he, yeah, he played on it. You know.
Yeah, and he set the pattern for you to later on go into prostitution. He set the pattern because he taught you to equate sex with someone giving you things.
Right.
And giving, like with me, I equated sex with someone validating me and making me feel desirable. Like I was wanted because if that's what they wanted, then that's what I would give them to make myself feel loved or lovable.
Exactly.
My God. My God. So how did you get out? I mean, how did you get out of bondage? We're talking about breaking the yoke of bondage that's created by molestation and other negative things that could happen. But, you know, if the truth were to be told, this has happened to so many more women that will stand up and say that it has happened. A lot of women just won't talk about it. They won't tell because there's a shame that we take upon ourselves. Like I read about Tamar, how she said, how am I going to live through the disgrace of this thing that you're getting ready to do to me?
Yes, it is. Yeah, there is a disgrace and all of that. And so for a long, long time, I didn't discuss it with anyone. That's the one. I have one sister. I'm so close with her. And when she read the story in my book, God's Plan for My Success in 2004, mm-hmm. only 2 years behind me, she literally cried the whole night. She stayed up all night and read it. And
my
she
God.
Was amazed because that was the one thing I never told her about. I discussed, you know what I'm saying? We were very, very close growing up.
Mm.
She and I did everything together. But that was the one thing I was able to keep secret.
Mm.
She didn't know, like, because my uncle, he would always do it, like, either in the middle of the night
mm-hmm.
when I lived at home with my mother. And then at 16, I ran away from home. And I left home. I left home, rather. I dropped out of school. My mother was the type of mother, she didn't play that. You weren't going to live in her house and not go to school. So I had
yeah.
to leave the house. Luckily, there was that uncle, so I went to live with him.
Okay.
And so then it became, you know, more aggressive now, because now that I'm in his house, he could do it anytime he wanted whenever his wife wasn't there.
Mm.
And he made me feel obligated. Come on, you know I need this. I got to have it.
Right.
Like, I could almost make that movie, he's got to have it. That's the way he taught and trained me, was that my sex was so good that it was something that he was supposed to have and that he needed it and he had to have it.
My God. And it became your responsibility to make sure that he was okay.
To make this man happy this way, he's lacking something. Now, my uncle was very smart in the way, of course, the enemy, but my uncle was not a dumb man. Like, he would have been in the military. He was a reader. He had been to jail before. My uncle was that, you know, he was one of those, he knew about all the religions, you know. Anyway, so this man, you know, very, very twisted mind, okay, right to the day he's doing very, very badly and using drugs, and he's living a terrible life. But, you know, and I, like I said, I didn't know. And but one thing I had down in me, though, before I believe all that happened, my father was a preacher, and we used to go to church. So I believe before all that came, God had already planted in me my assignment.
My God.
Of deliverance and restoration and breakthroughs for people in certain conditions. So when he showed up with it, yes, I was going through it. Yes, it was painful. Yes, I lost a lot of things. However, then after all that was over, when I finally said no, I went into the military at age 23.
Uh-huh.
Ended around age 18. I went to the military, and when I was in the military, he would write me letters. He never wanted to stop. I remember him writing me, begging me to come back to him. Because when I met this guy, Michael Middlebrooks, I just totally cut it off.
Okay.
I just totally stopped. Michael made me feel protected.
Mm.
And he made me feel like that your uncle used you.
Yeah.
And like I never had saw it like that before. Like he doesn't love you. He took advantage of you, and I never saw it like that. So I think that, you know, so that was the first breaking. So once he did that, I was able to, you know, look at the, okay, I'm a victim, but I'm not going to be a victim. I'm not going to have a pity party.
Amen.
Yeah, he used me, and yeah, I was the victim, and yeah, he molested me, and yeah, it was wrong, and yeah, I didn't get the experience giving my virginity away. Not that we should be experiencing that, but at least some people did get that.
Yeah.
So I didn't get to do that. Even if I had waited for marriage, that was already taken, so I could look at that he robbed me and all of that. However, I didn't want to be this pity. I was never a pity party. Growing up, my brother and them used to have a saying around the house that said, don't cry over spilt milk.
Right, so you went against the grain, and even then, like we were talking about God's grace that kept us, and there was something in you that let you know that you were better than that, and that you did not have to be defeated all of your life, that you did not have to be a victim.
Yeah, I'll tell you what it was. My mother was the kind of woman that every day, out of her mouth, she would say, you're living beneath your privilege.
Mm.
That was one of her favorite Bible lines to use. And so in the back of my mind, no matter how low I ever sunk in life, I always remember I'm living beneath my privilege. And my mother used to remind us of the prodigal son. You know, we didn't, like, just sit up at home and just read a bunch of scriptures. But because my father was a preacher and my mom was responsible to teach us some scriptures.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that as we are winding down to the last 3 minutes, listeners, you've heard three testimonies of three women, three different testimonies about this issue of molestation. And this is a demonic spiritual issue that really does come to kill, steal, and destroy. It comes to take away your future, your hope, your self-esteem. It comes to take away so many things from you. But we have to always remember the second part of that scripture, and that is that Jesus came so that we might have life and have that life more abundantly. Through the life, through the blood of Christ, the yoke has been broken. And I was talking about the woman in the book of Luke, chapter 13, that was crippled by an evil spirit for over 18 years. For so many of us, we've been carrying this thing around for years and years and years. For me, it was over 18 years. I don't know how long the other women carried it, but we carried this thing for a long time. And I want to say to you who are listening on today that you can be free. You can be free today. If you are in Christ already, you are already a new creation. All of that old stuff has passed away. You just have to receive it. And I listened to Lalisa's show this morning, Manifesting the Word of God in Your Life. She's right here on Blog Talk Radio. Just do LILISA. Do a search for it, and her name and her show will pop up. It's Blog Talk Radio / Lalisa-Firestarter. So you will be able to hear her program, which is another powerful program. But in this last minute remaining, I just want to encourage you to let God be God in your life. If you're not saved, I want to offer Christ to you. He came, he lived, he died so that you can have life. And he can help you to break the yoke. God loves you. This is what I want to say. God wanted to make sure that I said that God loves you no matter what you're going through right now. You've heard our testimony. And our testimony is probably worse than anything that you've ever encountered. So that's one reason to start rejoicing that there are people who are worse off than you are. And God loves you so much that he sent us three to give our testimony, to let you know that no matter what you've been through, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're in the midst of right now, that God still loves you. He still has a purpose for your life. He still has a plan for your life. And he is not content to leave you in your brokenness. So, woman, thou art loose today. You are loose. You are free from your infirmity by the testimony of your sisters and the blood of the Lamb. And it goes in depth, more in depth than that. I don't know if any of the sisters have anything to say in this last 23 seconds. If you can add anything to that.
Well, all I can say is that the Lord loves you. He will keep you. Just give your heart to him and trust in him, and he will do anything that he can if you let him do it. Open your heart to him, and he will change your life around.
Amen. Amen. And the pastor said, open your heart to him, and he will change your life around. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, sisters. Thank you, Prophetess Lalisa, Pastor Ziamara. Thank you both for calling in. I look forward to speaking with both of you ladies soon, real
Amen.
Soon.
Amen.
And just keep letting the Lord use you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And for those of you who are listening, nothing is impossible with God. We came to tell you that God has a purpose and a plan for your life, and it's all good. Amen. He is working to all in the midst of every situation for your good. Get a hold of the word of God and apply that word to your life, because it is not his plan that anyone should perish. Amen. So I want to just sign out. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons in Elizabeth, New Jersey, New Creation Christian Ministries, and I came to let you know that God loves you, and so do we here at Power in the Word. Peace.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, my sister.
Oh, girl, God bless you. You know we got to talk.
I'm going
to
call you. We'll talk soon.
Okay, love. Love you.
Love. Love you. Bye-bye.